Hi, this is Pastor Adam Matheny of Our Savior's Lutheran Church in Mankato. We are a member congregation of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod that strives to embody the historic teachings and practices of the Christian Church as found in the sacred scriptures. If you enjoy or have questions about this brief message, please get in touch with us. Our building is located at 1103 North Broad Street in Mankato. We have divine service at 8 o'clock and 10:30 on Sunday mornings, with Bible class and Sunday school between at 9:15. Again, this is Pastor Adam Matheny of Our Savior's Lutheran Church, and thanks for listening. Today's broadcast is brought to you by Joan Tim, in loving memory of Richard and Jeffrey. Today's reading comes from 1 Corinthians chapter 15. For as by a man came death, by a man has come also the resurrection of the dead. For as in Adam all die, so also in Christ shall all be made alive, but each in his own order, Christ the firstfruits, then at his coming those who belong to Christ. Then comes the end, when he delivers the kingdom to God the Father, after destroying every rule and every authority and power. For he must reign until he has put all his enemies under his feet. The last enemy to be destroyed is death. Why am I in danger every hour? I protest, brothers, by my pride in you, which I have in Christ Jesus our Lord, I die every day. What do I gain? If, humanly speaking, I fought with beasts at Ephesus, if the dead are not raised, let us eat and drink, for tomorrow we die. Do not be deceived. Bad company ruins good morals. Wake up from your drunken stupor, as is right, and do not go on sinning. For some have no knowledge of God. I say this to your shame. But someone will ask, how are the dead raised? With what kind of body do they come? You foolish person, what you sow does not come to life unless it dies. And what you sow is not the body that is to be, but a bare kernel, perhaps of wheat or of some other grain. But God gives it a body as he has chosen, and to each kind of seed its own body. For not all flesh is the same, but there is one kind for humans, another for animals, another for birds, and another for fish. There are heavenly bodies and earthly bodies, but the glory of the heavenly is of one kind, and the glory of the earthly is of another. There is one glory of the sun, and another glory of the moon, and another glory of the stars, for star differs from star in glory. So is it with the resurrection of the dead. What is sown is perishable, what is raised is imperishable. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father, through our Lord and our Savior Jesus. Amen. The beginning of today's epistle lesson really is a delightful summary of what the hope is that we as Christians have in this life and in this world, and perhaps more importantly, for the world to come. The apostle begins in verse 21 with, for as by a man came death, by a man has come also the resurrection of the dead. He begins here, though it may not seem like it, really at the beginning, at the very beginning, where we heard about how in the beginning God created the heavens and the earth. And in 6 days he spoke creation into being by his very word. And at the culmination of that work, on the sixth day, he reached down and formed man from the dust. And into that man, he breathed the breath of life, and that man became a living being, and he was called Adam. Adam went about on the face of the earth in the garden and tended to Eden, and in that place, he named all the creatures. He was the Lord, the lowercase L Lord, perhaps, underneath his creator. But he was the Lord of the garden, and so he named the plants and the animals, and whatever he bid them to do, they did. But at the end of all of this, it was found that that man had no helper fit for him, and he was lonesome. And so the Lord caused a deep sleep to fall upon Adam, and from his side, from his very bones, and from his very flesh, he took out his rib, a piece of his own side, and from that side he formed the woman. And he breathed into her the breath of life, and he sent her to the man to see what he would call her. And as a result of this astonishing gift to the man, we have the first bit of poetry ever spoken, wherein Adam looks into the face of Eve, his wife, and he says, "This at last is bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman, for she was taken out of man." And there, in this garden now, we have peace and harmony between man and woman, and between mankind and the animals and the plants and the earth. And yet we know that this harmony does not continue. Because Satan enters into the picture, he comes in the form of a snake, and he tempts Adam and Eve. He separates the woman from her husband, he takes her away, and he speaks lies into her ears, and he shows her that God's word does not appear as good as she first thought. He tempts her, and he deceives her, and she picks from the tree, and she eats, and in that first bite, in the tasting of that very fruit, she tastes, and she knows then that she is naked. And yet because of the deception of the serpent upon her, she takes some of that fruit and gives it to her husband, and now she is the Lord of creation, for he takes from her and he eats. And their eyes are opened, and they see that they're naked, and they know that all of a sudden, as a result of the work of the snake, and because they have complied with his efforts, now they are broken. They are naked, and they know that the world is not as it should be. And it's as a result of the eating of that fruit that they meet face to face, of course, eventually with their Lord, their Creator, and their Maker. And they learn that as a result of eating that fruit, now they will die. And now the whole stage is set for the rest of the story of the world. It turns out that there are two opponents working against each other in this world, in this creation. It is man and it is death. Because as it turns out, Adam and Eve passed this inheritance, this inclination to sin on to their children, and so all have fallen. In that one taste of fruit, all mankind from the very beginning up until today now is afflicted by sin. All of us are broken and in need of rescue and repair because our first forefather fell. And now, as a result of the way that we live our lives, as a result of the way that we are born with this sin, all of us righteously and justly deserve to die, and so we do. Every man that walks the face of the earth is afflicted by this curse of sin, and every man lives every day of his life, as much as he might like to ignore it, in the shadow of death. And so the apostle says here at the beginning in verse 21 that for as by a man came death, he's referring to the story of the Garden of Eden, of Adam's first taste of the fruit, and the fact that he passed on his sin and his wretchedness and his brokenness to every child that has come since. Adam gave death to us all because he fell in the face of the serpent. But then in the second half of this first verse, he reminds us that just as by one man came death, so by one man has come also the resurrection of the dead. You see, what we learn here from the apostle is that the resurrection of Jesus is not simply some kind of miracle that he performs in order to show us that he is God. It's not merely something that the Lord Jesus decides to do at a given time to show his power. It's not like turning water into wine. It's not like walking on water. It's not like healing the sick. In fact, when our Lord Jesus Christ rises from the dead on Easter morning, what he is doing is mending the very problem that faces all of mankind. He's healing the initial wound that we suffered when Adam bit and fell in the face of the serpent. Because Adam sinned, he passed on his sin and therefore death to everyone who followed him. And now in very much the same way, because our Lord Jesus Christ suffered death on the cross, because he suffered death in our place, because he overcame death by resurrection from the dead, now all who follow Christ also inherit resurrection from the dead. This is what the apostle wants us to know and to realize this morning. So he continues this one very powerful sentence with further explanation. He says, "For as in Adam all die, so also in Christ shall all be made alive." All of us, by our birth, by our blood, by our heritage, follow Adam, and so all die. Now, by faith, we also can be connected to Christ and shall at his return be made fully and completely alive, just as he was. But each, he says, in his own order, Christ as the first fruits. See, we understand from this saying that in fact the Lord Jesus Christ is the first fruits. His resurrection from the dead is a promise. We see that he is risen. He's risen indeed. Alleluia. And what that means is because he is risen, and because by my baptism and by the hearing of his eternal word and by the absolution of my sins and by the eating and drinking of his body and blood and the sacrament of the altar, I am connected to him. And so I get what he has. He is the first fruits. And so his resurrection is a promise to me that because he is risen and because I am connected to him, therefore I shall rise. Then at his coming, says the apostle, those who belong to Christ. Brothers and sisters, this is the promise of being a Christian. Fundamentally, what we hope for and what we look for is the return of our Lord Jesus Christ. And it matters not whether he comes before I die and end my earthly life, or whether he comes thousands of years from now while I sleep in my grave. The promise that I have and that you have as you hold fast to him in faith is that at his return, eternal life will be mine. The dead will be raised. And let me be clear about this. What that means is when the Lord Jesus returns, if you rest in the sleep of death, your body will crawl up from the ground. You will walk from your grave just as certainly and as bodily as our Lord Jesus walked from his grave on Easter morning. But the body that will emerge, as the apostle says later on in our reading, will not be a mortal body in the same way that your body is now. It will be the same body from the same grave in which you are buried. But now your body will be renewed. It will be restored. It will not be broken and afflicted and dying in the same way that your earthly body is now. But it will be better even than the body that Adam had at the first. And then we learn what the scriptures care to teach us and tell us about the end. The apostle says in verse 24, "Then comes the end, when he delivers the kingdom to God the Father after destroying every rule and every authority and power. For he must reign until he has put all his enemies under his feet." When the Lord Jesus comes and raises all the dead, he will judge all of mankind. And those that are found wanting, all those who have not held firm to him in faith, who have not produced the good fruit for which he looks, who have not participated in his holy church and received the gifts and the promises that he has to give, will be destroyed. He will destroy all sin. He will destroy all evildoers. He will place them, yes, into hell. But the reason that he does this is that sin produces death, and death is the enemy of mankind. And his whole mission, his whole purpose was to come onto this earth and to set right what once by our forefather Adam was done wrong. And so he will return again, he will raise all the dead, and he will give eternal life to all believers in Christ. And then finally, once he has destroyed all authority and power and ruler, the last enemy to be destroyed, the apostle says, quoting the prophet, is death. Brothers and sisters, that is what we look for. That is why we read the scriptures. That is why we receive the holy sacraments. That is why we proclaim to our friends and our neighbors that Jesus Christ is risen from the dead. Because the promise is that at the end, at the return of our Lord Jesus Christ, our final and ultimate enemy will be destroyed. And that, my friends, is death. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. I hope you enjoyed this brief sample of our Savior's Lutheran Church. To learn more about our congregation, visit our website at www.oslcmankato.org or give us a call at 507-385-2180. Thanks again for listening, and God bless you.